BBC News with Natalia Rolston. The once feared former leader of Haiti, Jean-Claude Duvalier, nicknamed Baby Doc, has died of a heart attack at his home in the capital, Port-au-Prince. He was 63. Mike Aldridge looks back at his life.
Jean-Claude Duvalier succeeded his father François, who was known as Papa Doc, as president for life of Haiti in 1971. At the time of his swearing-in, he was, at 19, the youngest president in the world. Initially, it seemed there could be a significant move away from his father's harsh regime, underpinned as it was by Haiti's notorious secret police, the Tonton Macoute. He moved closer to the Americans, from whom his father had been estranged. U.S. businesses moved in, and he allowed limited press freedom. But Jean-Claude Duvalier lived lavishly. His state-sponsored wedding cost $3 million, while most of the people in his ravaged nation endured the worst poverty in the Western Hemisphere. Repression continued too, and amid massive unrest in 1986, he fled to France. He returned to Haiti in 2011.
Pro-democracy protesters who've been blocking the streets of Hong Kong for a week have promised not to obstruct civil servants going back to work, following a warning from the territory's chief executive, C.Y. Leung, not to block government headquarters on Monday. John Sudworth reports on the continuing protests.
After a day or two when numbers seemed to be falling, the huge crowds outside the Hong Kong government offices tonight suggest that this is not a protest movement ready to give in. The violence of last night, when thugs thought to be connected to the city's criminal triad gangs attacked the students, has had the opposite effect to that intended, galvanising support, not diminishing it.
The parents of Peter Kasich, the latest American hostage threatened with death by Islamic State kidnappers, have appealed for his release after a captive British aid worker was beheaded. In a video statement, they said their son was a Muslim convert known as Abdul Rahman, who was answering a humanitarian call. His father, Ed, appealed for mercy.
There is so much that is beyond our control. We've asked our government to change its actions, but like our son, we have no more control over the U.S. government than you have over the breaking of dawn. We implore his captors to show mercy and use their power to let our son go.
The Pakistani Taliban have expressed their support for Islamic State militants in Syria and Iraq. In an annual statement marking the Muslim festival of Eid, the group appealed to Islamists there to unite against what they called the enemy, the US-led alliance. The BBC's Pakistan correspondent says there's been little evidence so far of cooperation between the two groups, apart from IS supporters handing out leaflets in the Pakistani city of Peshawar. World News from the BBC. Insurgents from Islamic State have intensified their siege of Kobani on Syria's border with Turkey, again shelling Kurdish forces defending the town. Paul Adams is in Turkey across the border from Kobani.
For almost 3 weeks, Kobani has been under siege. All day, the sound of explosions echoed around the hills and puffs of smoke rose as mortar rounds hit the city. There were occasional bursts of small arms fire. The Pentagon said it conducted 4 airstrikes in the area last night, but the ISIS attack goes on. But once again, tempers flared on the Turkish side of the border. Soldiers fired tear gas and water cannon to break up a demonstration by refugees from Kobani and local Kurds. The real fighting was forgotten for a moment as soldiers chased demonstrators off the rocky hill where they and the media have been watching this siege unfold. There was calm for a while, but towards the end of the day, angry Kurds vented their anger again, this time on the press. Stones were thrown, vehicles damaged, and more tear gas fired. And all the while, the siege of Kobani continued across the valley.
Health authorities in the American state of Texas say the first Ebola patient diagnosed in the United States is now in a critical condition. Thomas Eric Duncan, who'd flown in from Liberia, is being treated at a hospital in Dallas. Health officials had said they were observing about 50 people who might have come into contact with him. More than 3,400 people in West Africa have died from the disease. The wedding has taken place in the French village of Dabo between a man and his former stepmother. After winning a long legal battle, Eric Holder, who is 45, tied the knot with 48-year-old Elizabeth Lawrence, his father's ex-wife. Among the guests at the wedding was the former husband of the bride, who is also the father of the groom. World News from the BBC.
更多内容请关注可可英语 coconet.com。